take a step, take a risk, step out of your comfort zone. Build this brotherhood with men who are pursuing God. You can't go through life alone. Men need teammates to lift them up, to encourage them, to push them, to call them out when necessary. So what are some obstacles to finding brotherhood? I want to tackle some of the hesitations that you may have in this idea of building a cadre of people around you, building people that have your back. There's one podcaster that I really enjoy listening to. He talks of this in terms of building your foxhole. Who are those that are around you that know that you know that they have your back, and you are you can be dependent upon them for resources. You can be dependent upon them for prayer. You can be dependent upon them to keep you honest. But I want to shoot down some of the obstacles, or address some of those obstacles that we may have in finding a brotherhood. Number one, I think, is just simply arrogance or pride. If you're here tonight and you say, I don't need this, I don't need male friends in my life, you're being arrogant and or prideful. That's not true. You need that in your life. Another obstacle is fear. I just don't know how to be a good friend. I don't know what that looks like. It's different. You know, for guys, stepping out into something, particularly when we're talking about relationships, is a scary thing. There's fear that's attached to that. There's fear that we've never seen it modeled. Can I be honest with you? I don't know that it wasn't until my mid-30s probably that I recognized what a healthy guy deepened friendship that was full of trust and full of transparency. I didn't know what that was all about. I had a healthy environment growing up as a kid. I had brothers that kept me in check. I had a dad that loved me. But I had this fear about friendship that I really, honestly, I just didn't get. I was fearful of it because I didn't trust people. And so my thought was, if I exposed myself in terms of transparency and me just being real with people, that I would be taken advantage of. And so I had this wall built up around me that I wasn't going to let anybody in. No one was ever going to come inside that wall. And God placed men in my life that helped me see the value of a brotherhood. I was fearful. A number three obstacle, or a third obstacle to finding brotherhood is maybe control issues. We have a tendency as men to do life alone. We're rugged individualists, right? We take pride on doing something ourselves. I don't need your help. I don't need your advice. I'm just going to flounder through it and figure it out myself. That's my tendency. Maybe it's yours. But by doing life alone, what does that afford us to do? That affords us to control our own habits, to control our own reactions. But what brotherhood does, brotherhood, this is where we lose control here. Brotherhood allows for the input of our friends. And sometimes we don't want that. Guys, sometimes we don't want a friend to tell us, no, that's stupid, don't do that. That's too risky, don't do that. Take a risk, be a man, do this. But see, when we solicit the advice of our friends, or we gather people around us, men around us, that give us advice, we have to give up some of that control. We got to give up some of that control. So maybe it's control issues. Or maybe you would say, Pastor Jason, I've just not found the right group. Now, it may be difficult to find the right group. And maybe it's difficult because you don't know anything about anyone. Finding guys who have similar interests or interesting or interest of, that you may have, the same interests, require that you have to find out about them. Don't complain to me about you not having friends if you're not friendly. If you're not friendly, don't complain about not having friends. What is, I think the Bible has something to say about that, right? He who has friends must show himself friendly. And so you sit there and say, hey, no one's ever come up and say hi to me at church. No one's ever invited me to lunch or breakfast or anything. Let me guess, you've not invited anyone to breakfast or lunch. Let me guess. You've never walked up and just started talking to someone that you've never met before and asked them questions about their lives. It's probably the case. But if we talk with people, if we ask people about themselves, we'll discover that at the very least, people are very interesting. Being a part of a church, you'll find that good, bad, indifferent, or ugly, that everybody's interesting. There's interesting stuff about everybody. And as you find out more about people, guys, you recognize, oh, they've got some of the same interests that I do. Or some of their interests are interesting to me. I've always wanted to know how to bow hunt. So I'm going to make friends with this guy and ask him to show me how to bow hunt. But sometimes we say we haven't found the right group. We can find the right group if we try to find the right group. But we need to move past superficial and shallow relationships where we prefer anonymity. And we need to be intentional about seeking out brotherhood. And here's why. Here's why we need to be intentional. When I meet guys that are facing issues in their life, this is the truth. The greatest commonality that leads them down the path of those issues, the single most common occurrence is this: they've isolated themselves from other people. And guys, it's dangerous to isolate yourselves from other men. It's dangerous. There's a danger of isolation. What's dangerous about it? There's no accountability. There's no checks and balances. There's no outside voices. And sometimes our internal dialogue is all we hear. And when we're wrong in our thinking, the echo chamber of our own voice only deepens incorrect thought patterns. Does that make sense? One of the dangers of online, of social media, is that you tend to subscribe to and listen and follow people that have the same beliefs that you do, right? It only makes sense. The same political leanings, religious leanings, the familial leanings, those things. And so our social media feed becomes an echo chamber. The same with our thinking. If we don't allow dissenting voices and other opinions into our minds and our ears, we hear ourselves, and we entrench ourselves in potentially terrible thought patterns. So there's a danger there. I want to give you three practical purposes of brotherhood and then five ways to build brotherhood just in the last 20 minutes or so here. Three practical purposes of brotherhood. Why? Now, I'm going to give you some Bible verses. I'll read the Bible verses. You can jot them down. We're not going to turn to them for sake of time. But there's three practical purposes, or here are some practical purposes of brotherhood. Number one, to enjoy fellowship. To enjoy fellowship. I love to just hang out and just have fun. No agenda. Hey, if I invite you to go to lunch or breakfast, trust me, I don't have an agenda. I don't have a notebook of things to ask you. I just want to hang out and talk nonsense, right, Sean? Just talk nonsense over breakfast. But fellowship, just the fellowship. Look, biblically speaking, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 46. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and what? In fellowship And in breaking of bread, that's eating. And in prayers, they continued daily in one accord in the temple. They went to church. And breaking of bread from house to house, they ate with each other and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. From the earliest days of the church, the Christians had their daily fellowship with one another. Time together in church, time living together outside of church, doing fun stuff together, eating together, praying for and with one another, enjoying life together. So there's the principle of the purpose of just being together, just for the sake of being together. Maybe you're grilling out. Maybe you're watching a game. Maybe you're cutting a tree down. Maybe you're trying out a new restaurant. Ethan and I check out all the wing places in Indianapolis and we keep copious notes. Just for the sake of that, no agenda, just to be with one another. How was your day? How was your week? What's your wife nagging about? How are your kids? How's school? How's work? Just talking. But the fellowship. There's just something about fellowship, guys. Something about fellowship. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. True Christians should try to have fellowship together in love and peace and patience and understanding and humility. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's the direct command of our Lord that after we've become Christians, that we should meet together for worship with other Christians. So as biblical as it is to meet together with fellowship and eating and hanging out and watching the game and those things, it's as biblical to go to church with your brotherhood. I'm not saying that all your friends have to go to Faith Baptist Church. If they were good friends, they would. But there's something about hearing a common message and being on the same track and families being in the same direction theologically and doctrinally. It's edifying. And as a church of men, we should strive to be faithful in our involvement with church. This wasn't just to be a passing thing in the early days of the church, but it should continue even until Christ comes back. If we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we've got the responsibility to search out a Bible-believing group of God's people. That's Bible. So enjoy fellowship. That's a practical purpose of brotherhood, is to enjoy fellowship together. Secondly, I believe that important aspect of a brotherhood is to offer spiritual support. Romans 12:10 says this, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Brothers should love one another and should want the advancement of their brothers above their own advancement. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26 says this, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Brothers should sorrow when his brother is sorrowful. He should rejoice when others have joy. A self-searching question for you tonight would be, are you happy for people when good things happen to them? If you're envious of people, that's sin. You should rejoice when your Christian brother has a promotion at work, or they have a new baby, or something fantastic happens in their marriage, or they finish a project at home. You should rejoice with them. Be that brother offering spiritual support. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fit jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. When individual brothers become what they should be, families become what they should be, churches become what they should be, each Christian man has something to contribute to this place, this local New Testament church. And this local New Testament church becomes what it should be. It reaches its full potential when you have a group of men who are all in, and they're all in together for the sake of one another, for the sake of the edification of one another. We help each other as we develop in our talents and our abilities. This strengthens us all, including the local church. Number three, a practical purpose of brotherhood is we potentially may offer material support. Acts chapter 11, 29, from the earliest days of the church, Christians gave of their material goods to help those brothers in Christ who had less material, even those that were at a greater geographical distance. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, a lover of hospitality in Titus. One practical form of brotherhood is to help by hospitality, by being inviting and being kind and being giving. In the last 15 minutes, the last 10 or 15 minutes, I want to give you five, I think, very practical ways to build a brotherhood. Maybe you have no body that you can look to and say, man, this is my brotherhood. This is someone that I can that I would go through hell and high water with, that they would have my back, that I could depend upon them. Maybe you have nobody like this. Maybe you have a semblance of this. Maybe you already have this in place, but you're looking to strengthen this. Or better yet, maybe you need to look and say, how can I be a better brother to my brothers? And really, if we all did that, we would all recognize that we have strengthened bonds between us. So what are five ways? Five ways I want to help you build a brotherhood. And I think these are some good ways that I've found to build a team of men, to gain that locker room mentality, to gain that team mentality, that group that you would go to war with. How to build a brotherhood. Number one, and first and foremost, be real. Be real. Too many of us men put up a facade. Stop with that. That's exhausting, first of all. That's exhausting. The thought of me pretending to be somebody that I'm not wears me out to even think about it. But too many men put up a facade. They want everything on the outside to look like they've got it all together, when in reality, they're overwhelmed. You need to be the type of man, and you need to have a group of men together who, when you're around them, you can be real and you can be honest. You can share your victories. You can share your defeats. It's where you can help each other in the tough times. You can celebrate life together. But what keeps us from being real and honest about who we are? Pride, right? I mean, that's what it is. Work to improve yourself, no doubt. The idea of being real doesn't mean that we draw a line in the sand and say, hey, this is me. I'm never going to be any different than that. No, you work to improve yourself. Those weaknesses that you have, those hurtful habits that you have, the sins which do easily beset us, you work on those in sanctification. You work to improve yourself, but you don't pretend you're something that you're not. Don't pretend to be an expert bow hunter if you don't own a bow. Sometimes I'm impressed with guys that have, I like to hunt. I've never bow hunted. And so when I talk to someone, I've read magazines, but I talk to guys that are bow hunters, I kind of just want to like fit in, like, yeah, no idea what you're talking about. I'm impressed by it, but we can have that temptation. Just be real. Just be real. Don't shortchange what you can learn from others by pretending to be a know-it-all. Work to improve yourself, but don't pretend that you're something that you're not. Number one, be real. Just be real. Just be who you are. Number two, be transparent. That's kind of on the heels of being real, but be transparent. All of us men feel pain. All of us feel pain. It's how you deal with it that matters. In everyday life, there's always adversity. Bad stuff happens. Allow your brothers to know what's going on and to support you. This is hard for me. This is hard for me. And I think especially as a pastor. So I recognize that, like, that my role as a pastor and the pastor's role is one to bear others' burdens. Like, I know that that's part of my calling, is for you to unload on me. You unload on me. I can compartmentalize it. I've gotten better at that. I think if you're in a position that people come to you for counseling or people come to you advice, for advice, that you have to be good at compartmentalizing that and disassociating in some ways with your emotion so that you can help a person without being overwhelmed. And so I have a tendency to not tell anybody when I'm feeling bad and not express that. But I recognize that that's not healthy. And I need to be more transparent. And a thing that I know is a truism is that we can all commiserate with failure, right? We all get it. We all understand what messing up is like. We all understand what having a bad week is like. And we all understand about just falling short, what that feels like. But be transparent. And ask for prayer in your struggles. Don't wallow in your weaknesses. Rather, tell a friend who can help pull you up. Number one, be real. Number two, be transparent. How to build a brotherhood. Number three, be available. Be available. The most important thing about, or one of the most important things about building a good brotherhood is simply time together. Shared experiences. Those of you that were in the youth group together, you've got shared experiences. If you've gone through hardships in your life, that shared experience is what builds a brotherhood. But nothing replaces spending time together, showing up when you're supposed to be there. It takes time to earn trust, be there for each other. And over time, we begin to form a bond of brotherly love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And no matter what life throws at your brothers, be there for that brother. Pastor Jason, I'm awkward if my brother's crying. Just be there and be awkward. I don't know what to say at a funeral. Be there and be awkward and say, I'm sorry. I remember as I just came on staff, and Pauline's oldest son passed away. Jamie passed away right after I had come on staff. Pauline Wilson's son, Jamie, and it was early and unexpected. I think he was in his 50s or something. He just turned 50. And I showed up to the hospital, and I don't know, the B team showed up. I don't know if Pastor Monty wasn't here or what, but the new youth pastor showed up. And I had been here long enough, and I knew Pauline. And I just didn't know what to say. I just didn't know what to say. And Pauline, she hugged me, and she said, you don't know what to say, do you? I said, I don't. She said, just hug people and tell them you're sorry. Golden advice. You don't know what to say? You don't know what to say when you're at a funeral? You're at a hospital bed? You're there when your friend needs you. You're there when your brother needs you. What do you say? I'm sorry. I'm just really sorry. There's no magical spell to cast on the situation. There's not a magical verse, but just being there. Being available. Be available when asked. Initiate fellowships. Be available to move furniture. I'm out on that one, by the way. I'm done. I moved enough furniture this year. Don't ask me. I'm done. By the way, guys, let me drop this as a hint. I'm about to send out a one call to all the guys. There's someone that needs furniture moved on Friday, and I'm out. I'm not doing it. So just so you know, that's me being transparent. So I'm sending that one call out later tonight. So be real, be transparent, be available. Initiate fellowships. Initiate times together. Be available. Number four, be positive. How do you build a brotherhood? Be positive. Be a positive person. Be an encourager. You've heard Pastor Monty say this, that some people have the spiritual gift of discouragement. Don't be that guy. Don't, guys, leave the complaining up to the ladies. Ladies, I told you, you're going to hear what I tell the guys. Listen, don't be a complainer, guys. When someone asks you about your day, now you may be transparent and you can tell them some of the difficulties, but you don't have to unload on them and just totally ruin their day. But be an encourager. If someone says, is the glass half full or half empty, are you always the half empty guy? Or do you look for ways to be an encourager? Do you look for ways to lift other spirits? Do you look for ways to make your brother have a better day having talked to you? Be positive. Be positive. Whiners will never experience true brotherhood. No one wants to be around them, even other whiners. Now, whiners will kind of congregate together, but after a while, the whiners get tired of the other whiners, and whiners are always looking for other whiners to whine to. Don't be a whiner. Be positive. Be gracious and forgiving and humble and meek and long-suffering with our friends. And then fifthly and last, how to build a brotherhood. Be real, be transparent, be available, be positive. And number five, be interested. Be interested. Newsflash, life isn't all about you. Life's not all about you. Modern culture is me-centered. A brotherhood is other-centered. The athlete that wins the award often says, I couldn't have done this without my teammates. An intelligent winning quarterback or running back in football always gives props to the offensive line, because they know without them they couldn't have done that. Good teammates see what's going on. They listen to one another. They value one another with genuine interest. How does this practically work out? Learn what are the interests of others and seek to add to their enjoyment. What is it that your buddies find enjoyment in? How can you add to that enjoyment? What can you do to make their lives better? What is it that they are interested in? What would make their day? Those are just some practical ways I think that we can build a brotherhood. I'll say this and I'm done. It's important. It's important. I've been on the other side. I've been on the opposite side of brotherhood. And I can tell you it's destructive. To isolate yourselves, men, it's destructive. To set yourself on an island without any accountability, without any voice of reason, without anybody telling you what you're thinking is wrong, think this way, let me help you get through this situation. I've been on that side of things, and I value brotherhood, and it's saved my life. And guys, it can revolutionize your walk with Christ. It can revolutionize your home life, your professional life, your personal growth, physically, mentally, emotionally. gather to yourselves other men. And ladies, encourage this. Encourage this. As wives, you need to encourage your husband to have friends. Foster those things. And you know what? You can pick us apart. You can pick your husband's friends apart because they're rude, because they're loud, because they're messy. Yeah, we are. Why? Because we're guys. And we're half feral. We're half wild. And that's okay. That's how it's supposed to be. But you'll be pleasantly surprised, maybe, that friendship in developing a brotherhood of men together that sharpen one another, that keep each other accountable, that helps your the self-talk to be moderated with input from others, you'll find that he's a better husband and he's a better father. He's a better employer, employee. So foster that within your husband. But it's an important thing. It's an important thing. Build your brotherhood. Because life is done better together. That offensive line that we talked about at the very beginning, the success of that offensive line doesn't happen unless they're all on one page. It doesn't happen unless they spend time together and they know each other and they're vested in each other. And when you hear championships kind of at any level, what is the one thing that's lauded above everything else is, I won this, we won this for each other. I won this for them. And guys, you can find that same thing in friendships and deep brotherhood. Father, we love you. We thank you for Christ. Thank you for the example that we see in the scripture of you and those men that you surrounded yourself with. Father, though it was not necessary that you would surround yourself with anyone because Christ, you are all in all. But you've given us the example of a group of men, a group of blue-collar men that you brought together and you did life with them. And at the very end, you prayed that the same power and the same resources and the same blessings that you received from God, the same direction, that they would receive it as well. Father, may we be the type of brother that other men would love to have in their brotherhood. And Father, give us much grace as we seek to glorify you through our relationships in this area. In Jesus' name.